Throughout the Gospel of Luke, we are given many opportunities to witness women actively working side by side with the other disciples in Jesus' ministry. We are also invited in to appreciate how their lives are often used for transformation. In our story today, Luke confirms that this unnamed woman was recognized by the early church by simply mentioning her story. It is Luke who tells his version in more detail with a somewhat different emphasis than the other gospel writers. Luke's story is centered around the setting, timing, characters, and core issues of the day. It is in Luke's gospel where we have an opportunity to see this woman as something other than a sinner, and as one who understood the great compassion of Christ to forgive. All accounts of this story that the ointment the woman used on Jesus wasn't just an expensive gift, but it was an extravagant gift. It was so costly that those who witnessed her actions were shocked. This attitude might lead us today to focus on the extravagance of her gift only. And if our gaze is only on the gift, we are missing the bigger picture. Luke invites us to see this woman. And hopefully, in seeing her, we may also see her life, see her sacrifice, and the true meaning of the offering in her alabaster jar. Perhaps in seeing this woman, we may see the Christ in others who differ from us or who differ in how we really judge them from outside appearances. Perhaps in Luke's story, we too will see the potential of Christ in others as we conduct a self-examination of those things we hold closely in our personal boxes. These small treasures we hold tightly when released can become an extravagant offering for an extravagant God, a God who has freely given to us blessing upon blessing, which we may or may not have deserved or appreciated, an offering which stems from an intense and personal devotion, as in the case of the unnamed woman, is indeed an aroma pleasing to God. And if our offering to Christ is to be meaningful, it should cost us something. We have heard this story many times, and perhaps the focus of our attention is on the unnamed woman, or even on how she could afford such a gift. She is pictured as an uninvited guest, and maybe in some versions of the story, as one who might be wasteful with her resources. But is that all that we see? When Jesus asked Simon, "Do you see this woman?" What Jesus is asking is, can you see her story? Can you see what it has cost her to love extravagantly? Can you see her old life? And now her new life in Christ. Can you see her? Luke sort of pulls our focus away a bit when Jesus even accepts the invitation of a Pharisee, one who is known to often criticize and question his ministry, one who is a member of a group who love to be known for their purity and their strict adherence to the law. This also becomes another teaching point because it demonstrates that Jesus will come wherever he is invited. He will stand at any door and knock, at the door of a Pharisee, at the door of an outcast, at the door of a tax collector, and even at the very doors of our lives today. Jesus set the good example of engaging others by opening his heart and his hand to them. He realized that division separates us from God. So instead, he laid the groundwork for new communities and a new way of envisioning the other. When we look at this woman, we must be careful in what we think we see and know about her. We must be careful in what we think we see and know about others. To truly see this woman becomes a pivotal moment in this story, because if Simon cannot see the Jesus in this woman and only sees a sinner, he certainly cannot see that the Jesus sitting at his very dining table is one who has come to offer freedom from sin for all. Today, the question in Luke becomes, if Simon cannot process what is before him, neither can he embrace the beauty and the example of extravagant love. For Simon, it is all laid out for him as clearly as the dinner he provides for his guests. But Simon is one who sees but does not believe. And knowing so, Jesus says to him, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Do you see this woman? You gave me no kiss, but from the time she entered, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You, Simon, did not anoint me, but she has anointed my feet. Do you see this woman?" I would assume that Simon and those who gathered only saw the unnamed woman as an object of scorn. They saw her as a means by which they could stand in judgment and perhaps feel better about themselves. But Jesus saw something so totally different. He saw a woman who would come to him, no matter what it would cost her, no matter what anyone else thought. He saw a woman who knew the depth of her sin, but trusted in the depth and grace and forgiveness of her Savior. Jesus saw a woman who was so moved by what was done for her that she would spare no expense or shame or service or humility in order to express her gratitude. This is such a contrast to Simon. He figured he had no real sin of which to repent, where the woman could not hold back her tears of repentance for hers. It is God's generous intention to heal and restore relationships. God is always relational. And in Luke's narrative, it is Simon who does not open himself up to receive the extravagant gift of a creditor who forgives a debt simply out of grace and love. This unnamed woman chose to give her all, her ointment, her hair, her tears, all in appreciation of Christ. Jesus summed up the response of this woman simply by saying, "She loved much." Jesus is not saying she is forgiven because she loved much, but rather that her love exemplifies that she truly embraced what it meant to be forgiven. She understood that Jesus worked a miracle in her life, and no box of ointment or act of service could ever repay them. And holding all of this in her very soul, I believe she was so full of gratefulness that she could only respond with all that she owned. And here it is laid out before us today with such clarity and power. An unnamed and uninvited woman crashes a party without an offering of wine or a meal, but with a very costly box of ointment. A question which has probably been asked by all who have read Luke's gospel for over 2,000 years remains the same for us today. Do we see this woman? Do we understand what is going on in this story? More importantly, do we see ourselves in this person without a name? My sisters and brothers in Christ, the answer should be yes, because this unnamed person represents you and I. This person is the one who is offered forgiveness 70 times 7. This person is the one who is totally dependent upon the grace of God. This person is the one we greet each day in the mirror. Sometimes we see her, sometimes we don't, especially when we find ourselves playing the role of Simon, the role of comparing our sins to others and feeling we end up better off than they do. Today, this unnamed woman presents us with the possibilities of practicing extravagant love. Her message allows us to lavishly offer the core values of our Christian life: grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness. Do we see her? There is a gospel song I play often by C.C. Winans entitled The Alabaster Box. And each time I hear this song, I am drawn deeper into this simple dinner scene and deeper into the presence of the uninvited guest. She enters unnamed and changes the entire context of a dinner, and her mere presence becomes an opportunity for Jesus to use her as a teaching point for generations to come. Today is the time for each of us to recognize and see this woman in ourselves. It is time for each of us to kneel down beside her and offer up our names and our sins. It is time that we reconnect with the majesty, wonder, and awe of a Christ who forgives our most grievous sins. And the time is now for us to receive those words Jesus uttered so many years ago, which still remain true for each of us today. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen.